through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 452. It is April 21, 2016. Today, Christian faces an even graver danger than a frontal assault by Satan. It's in the valley of the shadow of death that every one of us will have to go through before we get to that celestial city, unless Jesus comes first. We are reading from Pilgrim's Progress and then going to comments by Charles Spurgeon on that same book by John Bunyan. We're going to be mostly, it looks like, in Bunyan today. And about the midst of this valley, I perceived the mouth of hell to be, and it stood also hard by the wayside. Now thought Christian, what shall I do? And ever and anon the flame and smoke would come out in such abundance with sparks and hideous noises, things that cared not for Christian's sword, as did Apollyon before, that he was forced to put up his sword and betake himself to another weapon called all prayer. So he cried in my hearing, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And thus he went on a great while, yet still the flames would be reaching towards him. Also he heard doleful voices and rushings to and fro, so that sometimes he thought he should be torn in pieces or trodden down like mire in the streets. This frightful sight was seen, and these dreadful noises were heard by him for several miles together. And coming to a place where he thought he heard a company of fiends coming forward to meet him, he stopped and began to muse what he had best to do. Sometimes he had half a thought to go back, and then again he thought he might be halfway through the valley. He remembered also how he had already vanquished many a danger, and that the danger of going back might be much more than for to go forward, and so he resolved to go on. Yet the fiends seemed to come nearer and nearer. But when they were come even almost at him, he cried out with a most vehement voice, I will walk in the strength of the Lord God. And so they gave back, and they came no further. One thing I would not let slip. I took notice that now poor Christian was so confounded that he did not know his own voice. And thus I perceived it. Just when he was come over against the mouth of the burning pit, one of the wicked ones got behind him and stepped up softly to him, and whisperingly suggested many grievous blasphemies to him, which he verily thought had proceeded from his own mind. This put Christian more to it than anything that he met with before, even to think that he should now blaspheme him that he loved so much before. Yet if he could have helped it, he would not have done it. But he had not the discretion either to stop his ears or to know from whence those blasphemies came. When Christian had traveled in this disconsolate condition some considerable time, he thought he heard the voice of a man, as going before him, saying, Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear none ill, for thou art with me. Then was he glad, and that for these reasons. First, because he gathered from thence that some who feared God were in this valley as well as himself. Secondly, for that he perceived God was with them, though in that dark and dismal state. And why not, thought he, with me? Though by reason of the impediment that attends this place, I cannot perceive it. And thirdly, for that he hoped, could he overtake them, to have company by and by. And so he went on, and called to him that was before, but he knew not what to answer, for that he also thought himself to be alone. And by the day broke. Then said Christian, He hath turned the shadow of death into the morning. Now, morning being come, he looked back, not out of desire to return, but to see by the light of the day what hazards he had gone through in the dark. And so he saw more perfectly the ditch that was on the one hand and the quag that was on the other, and how narrow the way was which led betwixt them both. Also, how he saw the hobgoblins and satyrs and dragons of the pit, but all afar off. For after break of day they came not nigh. Yet they were discovered to him, according to that which is written, "He discovereth deep things out of darkness, and bringeth out to light the shadow of death." Now was Christian much affected with his deliverance from all the dangers of his solitary way, which dangers, though he feared them more before, yet he saw them more clearly now, because the light of the day made them conspicuous to him. And about this time the sun was rising, and this was another mercy to Christian. For you must note that though the first part of the valley of the shadow of death was dangerous, yet this second part, which he was yet to go, was, if possible, far more dangerous. For from the place where he now stood, even to the end of the valley, the way was all along set so full of snares and traps, nets here, and so full of pits and pitfalls and deep holes and shelvings down there, that had it now been dark, as it was when he came the first part of the way, had he had 1,000 souls, they had in reason been cast away. But as I said, just now the sun was rising. Then said he, "His candle shineth on my head, and by his light I go through darkness." In this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley. Now I saw in my dream that at the end of this valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of men, even of pilgrims that had gone this way formerly. And while I was musing what should be the reason, I espied a little before me a cave where two giants, Pope and Pagan, dwelt in old time, by whose power and tyranny the men whose bones, blood, ashes lay there. They were cruelly put to death. But by this place Christian went without much danger, whereat I somewhat wondered. But I have learned since that Pagan has been dead many a day, and as for the other, though he be yet alive, he is, by reason of age, and also the many shrewd brushes that he met with in his younger days, grown so crazy and stiff in his joints that he can now do little more than sit in his cave's mouth, grinning at pilgrims as they go by and biting his nails because he cannot come at them. So I saw that Christian went on his way. Yet at the sight of the old man that sat in the mouth of the cave, he could not tell what to think, especially because he spake to him, though he could not go after him, saying, "You will never mind till more of you be burnt." But he held his peace and set a good face on it, and so went by and catched no hurt. Then sang Christian, "O world of wonders, I can say no less, that I should be preserved in that distress that I have met with here. O blessed be that hand that from it hath delivered me. Dangers and darkness, devils, hell and sin, did compass me while I this veil was in. Yea, snares and pits and traps and nets did lie my path about, that worthless, silly I might have been catched and tangled and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown." Now, as Christian went on his way, he came to a little ascent, which was cast up on purpose, that pilgrim might see before them. Up there, therefore, Christian went, and looking forward, he saw Faithful before him upon his journey. Then said Christian aloud, "Ho, ho, so, so, stay, and I will be your companion." At that, Faithful looked behind him, to whom Christian cried again, "Stay, stay, till I come up to you." But Faithful answered, "No, I am upon my life, and the Avenger of Blood is behind me." At this, Christian was somewhat moved, and putting to all his strength, he quickly got up with Faithful, and did also overrun him, And so the last was first. Then did Christian vaingloriously smile because he had gotten the start of his brother. But not taking good heed to his feet, he suddenly stumbled and fell and could not rise again until Faithful came up to help him. And then I saw in my dream they went very lovingly on together and had sweet discourse of all things that had happened to them in their pilgrimage. And thus Christian began. My honored and well-beloved brother Faithful, I am glad that I have overtaken you, and that God has so tempered our spirits that we can walk as companions in this so pleasant a path. I had thought, dear friend, to have had your company quite from our town, but you did get the start of me, wherefore I was forced to come thus much of the way alone. How long did you stay in the City of Destruction before you set out after me in your pilgrimage? Till I should stay no longer, for there was great talk presently after you were gone out that our city would, in a short time, with fire from heaven, be burned down to the ground. What? Did your neighbors talk so? Yes. 'Twas for a while in everybody's mouth. What? And did no more of them but you come out, escape the danger? Though there was, as I said, a great talk thereabout, yet I do not think they did firmly believe it. For in the heat of the discourse I heard some of them deridingly speak of you and of your desperate journey, for so they called this your pilgrimage. But I did believe, and do still, that the end of our city will be with fire and brimstone from above, and therefore I have made my escape. Did you hear no talk of neighbor Pliable? Yes, Christian. I heard that he followed you till he came at the Slough of Despond, where, as some said, he fell in. But he would not be known to have so done. But I am sure he was soundly bedaubed with that kind of dirt. And what said the neighbors to him? He hath, since his going back, been had greatly in derision, and that among all sorts of people. Some do mock and despise him, and scarce will any set him on work. He's now 7 times worse than if he had never gone out of the city. But why should they be so set against him, since they also despise the way that he forsook? Oh, they say, hang him. He's a turncoat. He was not true to his profession. I think God has stirred up even his enemies to hiss at him and make him a proverb because he hath forsaken the way. Had you no talk with him before you came out? I met him once in the streets, but he leered away on the other side as one ashamed of what he had done, so I spake not to him. Well, at my first setting out, I had hopes of that man, but now I fear he will perish in the overthrow of the city. For it has happened to him, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Yes, they are my fears of him too, but who can hinder that which will be? Well, neighbor Faithful, let us leave him and talk of things that more immediately concern ourselves. Tell me now what you have met with on the way as you came, for I know you have met with some things, or else it would be writ for a wonder. I escaped the slough that I perceive you fell into, and I got up to the gate without that danger. Only I met with one whose name was Wanton, that had like to have done me a mischief. Which was well you escaped her net. Joseph was hard put to it by her, and he escaped her as you did. But it had like to have cost him his life. But what did she do to you? You cannot think, but that you know something, what a flattering tongue she had. She lay at me hard to turn aside with her, promising me all manner of content. Nay, she did not promise you the content of a good conscience. You know what I mean, all carnal and fleshly content. Well, thank God you have escaped her. The abhorred of the Lord shall fall into her ditch. Nay, I know not whether I did wholly escape her or no. Why, I trow, you did not consent to her desires. No, not to defile myself, for I remembered an old writing that I had seen which said, her steps take hold of hell. And so I shut my eyes because I would not be bewitched with her looks. Then she railed on me, and I went my way. Did you meet with no other assault as you came? And we're going to have to leave that question unanswered. That, in fact, is where Charles Spurgeon picks up. I've actually been reading the last minute or so the text that he reads from Bunyan to introduce his next message called What Faithful Met With in the Way. And we'll see what Charles has to say about that next time around. So good to be sharing these wonderful truths with you. It's not exactly the Bible, but surely is based on the Bible, isn't it? And it isn't it? Don't you feel that these are the things you have gone through? Surely John Bunyan went through them as a Christian, and he was just reflecting his own testimony in this book in so many different ways. While you're on my website there, and I thank you for joining us today, would you subscribe to it? Just click on that orange button at the top and then click on iTunes. And this podcast will come to your device day after day. Okay, tomorrow, as I said, we continue and we'll talk with Spurgeon, and Spurgeon will talk with us. And Psalm 23:6 is where we began today. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear